Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Always Dead by M. L. Bullock, narrated by Suzanne Elise Freeman. 1. Tamra. I opened the dryer, and a string of swear words flew out of my mouth. Joey, or at least a part of him, had his head and shoulders hunkered inside the appliance. Joey? What the hell? Are you trying to scare me to death? I didn't mean to sound angry, but his hiding in unexpected places was becoming a problem. I didn't mind living with a ghost, but enough with the funhouse surprises. I didn't understand Joey's weird obsession with electrical appliances. Are you trying to kill yourself again? We've been through this. It's not possible. You're already dead. He scowled at me. You don't have to be rude, Tamra. What a potty mouth. Keep your voice down. I don't want the visitor, he whispered as he made air quotes, to know I'm in here. Close the door and go away. I shook my head and waved my hand in frustration. No, I'm not going anywhere. Who are you talking about? Chloe isn't here, remember? She went to spend the night with Lynn. Unless you're saying there's another ghost in the house. He didn't say anything but put his finger to his lips. I've got laundry to do, so if you wouldn't mind hiding somewhere else. Quiet, loudmouth! Are you telling me you haven't seen that horrible wretch of a ghost? Way to go, Miss Paranormal Investigator. She's been hanging around your office. It's that book you're writing. I thought it was Chloe and her woo-woo crap, but it's you. Your writing is attracting activity, Tamra. I'm sure of it. I shook my head at the suggestion that somehow I was the cause of his latest freakout. Listen, I'm down to no underwear, so if you wouldn't mind. Joey faded a little, which worried me a bit. My best friend was easy to read. When he was happy and everything was going okay, he was luminous. He practically glowed. When Joey was stressed or worried or frustrated, and it was hard to believe the dead can be any of those things, he faded in and out and went translucent. At the moment, I could barely see him. He moaned as if he were in pain. This was disturbing. Something was up for sure. What's going on with you? Where did you see her? I asked, concerned his fear appeared to be climbing. Despite the fact he was a ghost and enjoyed binge-watching paranormal investigation shows, Joey did not like the idea of other spirits being anywhere around him. He was more afraid of them than Chloe and me. He whispered up at me, I wouldn't have to hide in places like this if you let me have my own room. This is on you, Tamra. I drew back, feeling exasperated. So that's what this was about. Hiding in the dryer was just a ploy to get me to change my mind about room renovations. We've talked about this, Joey. I don't have the money to renovate a room right now. Pick an empty bedroom and hang out in it. The most I can offer you is a box to hide in. There's no money in the budget for a bedroom set and all the accessories on your wish list. Maybe later when the legal stuff with Chloe is worked out. That's bull. You have the money. You just got a book deal. Rolling my eyes at his assertion, I tossed a dryer sheet in on him. No, I didn't. I haven't heard a thing yet. Do you know something I don't? He stuck his tongue out at me. I know a lot, but whatever. Nice to know I'm a priority, best friend. Bestie, BFF. Come on, give me a break. Is there really a ghost in here right now, Joey? Or did you freak yourself out watching that Amityville horror marathon? Are you actually being threatened, or are you just being extra? He crossed his arms and turned his face away from me. Feeling extra myself, extra aggravated, I dumped my wet clothing on top of him as he moaned again. Disgusting, Tamra! I slammed the dryer door and flipped the switch. Those panties are clean, Joey. If you don't want to talk, you can hang out with my underwear. Otherwise, I'm going to the mailbox. I paused as Joey mumbled something, but since the dryer door was closed and in full operation, I couldn't make out what he was saying. You'll need to come out of there if you want to talk to me. I waited for him to manifest, but he didn't appear. Be a stubborn ass, then. With a sigh, I slid my flip-flops on to make the trek to the mailbox. I noticed the entryway chandelier wobbled a little, and I studied the movement for a moment. Usually it only happened when Chloe had her music up loud, or she and Lynn were working on some dance or God knows what else. There wasn't a soul up there right now, so I had no explanation for it. Nothing else appeared to be moving around. I thought maybe I should break out the EMF detector, just in case. Once the chandelier stopped wobbling, I left the house and made the walk to the mailbox, which was located at the end of the long driveway. It was a hot afternoon, as it always seemed to be in Crystal Springs, Louisiana. Falls and winters weren't very cool here from what I experienced. It certainly didn't feel like fall. It was November, and the leaves were crunching beneath my flip-flops. The sky was overcast, and I caught myself looking back at the Ridout plantation a few times as I made my way. I don't know what I expected to see in those windows. Perhaps a malevolent face staring down at me from the attic or a second-floor window? A clue as to what was beginning to manifest. Joey was definitely worked up, and I had been having plenty of dreams. Young guy in a hot car, and the feeling of being choked. So weird. Before coming here, I wasn't one to dream much. That had certainly changed. In my limited experience at the Dead House, the name locals gave the Ridout Plantation, those top floors were the most haunted. Unless you included Joey's activities as hauntings, which I did not. Most of the time, Joey roamed all over the house, except for Chloe's room. That space was off-limits to everyone unless you wanted to deal with an angry teenager. I couldn't figure out why he'd suddenly decided he wanted his own room. With my hand shielding my eyes against the setting sun, I studied the house again. There was nothing there. No one was watching, and there was nothing to account for the wobbling chandelier. At least there were no ghostly figures or shadow people leering at me. For all I knew, Joey might be having a bit of fun at my expense. He was a prankster at times, but never anything malicious. I wasn't surprised to see my mailbox stuffed with envelopes. There were the usual circulars and unwanted junk mail, and even a letter addressed to my neighbor. Shoot, I'd have to take it to her. The last thing I wanted to do was visit Linda Blabbermouth, as Joey unaffectionately called the nosy neighbor, but I'd have to. Just not right this second. What was up with the mail lady recently? This was the second time this week. I sorted through a few more envelopes, and then paused. I'd received a letter from Bright House Publishing. I submitted my book to them recently. Too recently for this to be a good letter. God, please don't let this be another rejection letter. Have a little faith, Tamara. 13 was always your lucky number. The 13th was the charm, remember? It was strange that my internal voice of encouragement always sounded like my late best friend, Tina Louise. Shoving the rest of the envelopes under my arm, I tore the letter open and scanned the subject line for the dreaded word, rejection. To my surprise, I didn't see it. We are happy to inform you that your book, The Ghost of Crystal Springs, has been accepted for publication. Please contact us at your earliest convenience at... I shrieked in surprise. Like a kid holding an ice cream, I jumped up and down and looked around me for someone to share my good news with. There were no neighbors out, so I had no one to explain my joy to. Surprisingly, Linda's car wasn't there either. Wait, Joey knew about this. He knew this was going to happen. Well, he would just have to come out of the dryer because this was cause for celebration. I raced back to the house, my flip-flops flapping on the leaves as I ran. It was never a good idea to run in flip-flops, but this was a special occasion. As I swung the door open, I screamed for Joey. Joey, come out of the dryer! You have to see this! I dropped the remainder of the mail on the foyer table and unfolded the letter completely so I could take it all in. Yes, I had read it correctly. Bright House Publishing wanted my book. Joey, I'm about to be a published author. Come see the letter. It's time to celebrate. I could barely breathe. I was so happy. But my joy was short-lived. My calls for Joey echoed back to me, and the house felt extraordinarily empty. Since it was the last place I had seen Joey, I went back to the dryer, hoping he might still be hanging out there. He wasn't, or if he was, I sure couldn't see him. He was nowhere to be found, not in the dryer nor the washing machine. I also checked the oven and refrigerator just in case. I read the letter again. Could this be right? It had to be. I had the letter to prove it. Joey, come out, wherever you are. Big news! You called it, Joey. I got a deal. I heard not a sound. As I walked around the house, the air felt kind of odd and unsettled, kind of crackly and very still. The air hung like a blanket. Not humid, exactly, more like a kind of smothering. It reminded me of times when you walked in the woods and everything got quiet because there was a predator like a coyote or a bobcat. I had experienced such moments when I'd been on past paranormal investigations in remote locations, like the Campbell Cabin in Rhode Island. That place had been a total creepfest. That was the night Tina Louise and I caught glowing orbs on camera and heard groans. That's exactly what was happening here. It was time to take the bull by the horns and see for myself. Where had I put my EMF detector? Joey knew about the letter and was probably right about the new ghost at the Ridout plantation. If there was a new haunting, I wanted to know about it now. Better to be proactive. My joyous mood took a nosedive as I surveyed my surroundings. I piled all the letters on the nearest table and focused on the house. I should hear something, but there wasn't a sound. Not the usual low hum from the air conditioning vents, no running refrigerator, nothing at all. It was as if I were standing inside a vacuum and all the noise had been sucked away. I whispered Joey's name, and I couldn't even hear my own voice. Well, that was different. I couldn't hear a thing. Not Joey's awful singing or laughing, or even him clattering down the hall in my heels. I was suddenly awash with heavy emotions, and they weren't mine. I'd been kind of lonely lately, but I had not experienced anything quite like this. Whatever it was. I gripped the edge of the table as I tried to fight back against whoever was forcing me to experience this. I'm not a medium, I said to whoever might be listening. Stop doing that. I don't like it. It felt like I had been dropped into a vat of heavy, sad molasses. Then a blast of heat whooshed past my face, and the feeling was gone. The hairs on my arm stood up, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt, despite my attempts at mocking Joey and belittling his fears, we had a new resident at Dead House. The thick, weird feeling began to let up, and I managed to get myself together. Hello? Whoever you are, I felt what you did to me, and I don't like it. My name is Tamara, and this is my home. If you want to talk to me, I'm listening, but we have rules here. I waited for a response. Not a peep. No touching anyone. No hurting anyone. You'll have to find a way to tell me what you need, but leave Joey alone. He's off limits, okay? You can't harm him. Hello? I thought about what Joey said earlier about my writing adding fuel to the fire here at the Dead House. Was I some sort of paperback medium, and my new book had attracted unwanted paranormal attention? I had classified my book as fiction, not nonfiction, and not a true memoir of any sort. My latest book had been inspired by a dream I had, one I'd had several times. Surely my fiction had nothing to do with the potential paranormal presence attempting to make itself known here at the Ridout Plantation. Whatever the reason, I had to investigate. I went to my room and found my EMF detector and the digital recorder. I walked back to the front room and tried a few other conversation starters with the invisible entity. The EMF spiked up to the red before it fell back to green. It only lasted a few seconds, but that was it. No one wanted to talk. This new entity wasn't ready to reveal herself yet. Just as sure as the sun came up in the morning, I knew it would manifest sooner rather than later. That was the thing I liked the least about paranormal investigation, the unhappy surprises, like being startled or walking into the intangible and feeling that weird spiderweb feeling all over your body. But hey, what was a girl going to do? I was up for the job. I had this. Now I had to figure out how to tell Chloe. Maybe she already knew. The teenager was a strong, natural medium. Unfortunately, she was in one of those I don't want to talk to Aunt Tamra moods. Oh well, I could handle this all by myself. 2. Tamra. After another 30 minutes of taking readings and getting no responses, I went into the kitchen to heat up a can of soup for supper. As I stirred the contents, I listened to the recordings at full volume. Not a peep. Not a word or a sound that would lead me to believe anyone or anything had responded. I debated what next. I could try some REM pods, or turn off the lights and walk around with the IR camera. I had batteries for all of them. I secretly hoped Chloe would change her mind and come home tonight. Maybe I could call her and ask her to bring me a pizza. I couldn't leave, but I wasn't looking forward to this soup. Too bad, Tamra. Soup, it's what's for dinner. If you're lucky, you may have a few crackers to go with it. I continued to stir the chicken-flavored concoction, and then retrieved a bowl and spoon from the cabinet. I could not call Chloe and pull her away from her fun. That would be very lame of me, and I was lame enough already, according to her. I'd share the good news with Chloe when she came home tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, tell her about the new ghost. This whole being a mom thing was beyond me. Tina Louise, Chloe's late mother, had been my best friend, yet I felt as if I knew nothing about her. For a long time, I didn't even know she had a kid, much less a family home or such a remarkable family lineage. Why would you keep all this a secret from Chloe and me? Why would you do that, Tina Louise? Tina Louise was as much a mystery to me now as she was back in the day when we were working together. Those had been good times, though. When we weren't chasing ghosts on paranormal ghost tours, we spent our time together being creative, critiquing one another on our dance arrangements and choreography. The two of us had collaborated on some of the East Coast's most popular burlesque shows. She'd been kind from day one, but ruthless when it came to business. Tina Louise was one of the few dancers I knew who had the moxie to negotiate her own contracts with some of the shadiest club owners you'd ever want to meet. She taught me so much, but she left us too quickly. I learned a lot from the red-headed siren. Her passing had been only a few months ago, but it felt like a lifetime. TL had gone too soon. Way too soon. The house remained quiet, but at least the strange molasses feeling did not return. The entity did not try again to project her emotions on me. I had not enjoyed that at all. Joey was hiding somewhere, or he had gone to a safe place to recover. As always, I hoped he came back safe and sound. I couldn't imagine life without him now. although that was probably very selfish of me. I had always believed it was best for spirits to pass on and not linger in this realm after their death. But Joey, when it came to him, I selfishly hoped he would stick around for a long time. From what I gathered, from the sparse hints he sometimes dropped, Joey visited the neighbor's house and harassed her on the regular. Maybe he was over there now tormenting Linda by slamming doors or stomping around, which was probably a better alternative than hanging out here with whoever this ghost might be. I should have been more sympathetic when I found Joey in the dryer. A few minutes later, I sat down alone at my wobbly kitchen table to enjoy my boring soup, along with a bottle of water and the last of my crackers. As I ate, I began plotting tonight's investigation. REM pods for sure. Easy peasy. I'd have to go to the grocery store soon, or I would be forced to eat the frozen vegetables in my freezer. I couldn't for the life of me understand why I continued buying vegetables when nobody in this house ate them. It just felt like the responsible thing to do. The house felt emptier than usual. Too big and too empty. After eating about half of my soup, I threw the rest away and began setting up the REM pods. They were basically proximity sensors that flashed and screeched when anyone got near them. I retrieved three of them and decided to put two in the hallway and one in the front room. It wasn't quite dark, but I turned the lights off anyway. I used the digital recorder and tried to catch something, but nothing happened. I went at it for an hour, moving the equipment around and trying different tactics. I even asked the ghost to respond with a yes or no answer by using a flashlight. It was pointless. Whoever she was, she didn't want to talk to me. Eventually, I gave up and put all the equipment back in my closet. I changed my clothes and sat on the couch, hoping to lure Joey out of hiding. "Joey, there's a new show on. Come watch it with me." There was nothing on television. I hated the commercials, and I'd already watched everything on my DVR. I toyed with the idea of adding some details to my book outline, but my brain was mush. I read the letter from the publisher a dozen times before I went to bed. I would call the publishing house in the morning to hear more about the details of what they were offering me. The letter was kind of vague. That was probably the case. This had to be too good to be true. Nobody hit the publishing jackpot on their first book. Then again, I had received more than my share of rejection letters. At least it felt that way. In a recent interview on Good Morning Louisiana, popular author Bernadette Lewis let it drop she had been rejected nearly 100 times before her book Spirit of Spring was selected by Yorktown for publication. I guess in the grand scheme of things, I'd really hit the jackpot. Depending on what they offered. Yeah, Tamra Garvey, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Strangely enough, it did not take me a lifetime to write my first book. I wrote it in record time. Those writing sessions had been so surreal, as if someone else had been doing the writing and I was just along for the ride. Almost like a dang ghostwriter stood over my shoulders, whispering in my ear. I decided to call it a day. I'd do more investigative work tomorrow after my walk. I wanted to check out a few locations around the property. I felt as if I were missing an important clue relative to my dream, something that would lead me to the true identity of the young man in my book. No doubt he'd been a resident of Crystal Springs at one time, or at least a visitor. I flicked off the light and closed the door to my office. I brushed my teeth, kicked off my floppy slippers, and slid under the clean sheets. I was tired, and I'd done very little today. I was kind of glad Joey made himself scarce, because I didn't have the energy to hang out and watch paranormal investigation shows all night as he often liked doing on the weekends. I had the DVR recording Haunted Case Files and a few other shows. We'd catch up on them later together. Truth be told, it had been that strange encounter with the invisible entity which had drained me. There was definitely a ghost in residence at the dead house. Maybe it was a good thing Chloe was gone. I thought maybe I should text her and suggest she stay gone until I got to the bottom of this paranormal mystery. I could sage the house, which might make the atmosphere feel a little better. As a young medium, Chloe was working on her skills for helping the dead move on. I didn't have her kind of skills, but I knew how to investigate, and I could use a ghost box as good as anyone. I sighed as I rolled over on my side. An odd movement caught my eye. Strange, dark shadows gathered in the corner of my room. Remaining very still, I stared at it, and as always began debunking what I was experiencing. As the shadows gathered, I could come up with no reason for seeing this particular paranormal manifestation. Please don't be shadow people. Please don't be shadow people. I wasn't afraid of much in the way of ghosts, but shadow people were something else entirely, more along the lines of the demonic, not dead people. The shadows in my room collected themselves and became a shape quickly. What I was seeing was oddly formed, like a small whirlwind or a dust devil. I didn't move and held my breath, hoping that whatever this was wouldn't realize I was awake, which was pretty stupid. That never worked. Ghosts always knew when you saw them. One did not accidentally stumble upon a ghost. If you saw them, they wanted you to, and if they wanted you to see them, it was because they wanted to connect with you. Usually they needed your help. A few mean ones just wanted to scare the hell out of you. I continued to pretend to sleep, and I watched through partially closed eyes as the shadows shifted yet again. The twisting shadow devil crawled up the gray painted wall and spread out across the ceiling as it rose. It's now or never, Tamara. You've got to move, girl. As the shadows touched the ceiling, I opened my eyes to get a better view. It was easier to see it on the white ceiling. The manifestation was not a swirling dust devil anymore. It folded in on itself and took the shape of a person. A dead person. Maybe. It didn't appear to be an inhuman entity. It had two legs and two arms, a head, and long, stringy black hair. Very long hair that hung down vertically from the ceiling. As I watched, the hair grew longer and longer. My voice didn't want to work. All I could do was continue to stare in horror as the stringy hair reached for me like living tendrils of blackness. When I could finally move, I sat up and stared into the eyes of the ghost. There was no sense in pretending we didn't see one another. I still couldn't speak. I couldn't do much at all but stare above me as the features in the shadow's face began to form. Out of nowhere, Tina Louise's voice popped into my head. This was twice in one day. What the hell are you doing? Run, idiot! I rolled out of bed and landed inelegantly on the floor with a loud thud. I wasted not a second climbing to my feet and racing for the door. I ran to the living room and turned on every light I could along the way. Joey, get in here! Where are you? I heard a light tapping sound on the other side of the front door, but it stopped as quickly as it began. It must have been the wind tossing leaves up on the porch. Joey had been telling me the truth, and I had offered him no comfort. He was right. I was the worst best friend ever. I guess his cold shoulder was his way of returning the favor. I couldn't deny it any longer. The dead house had a new resident. 3. Chloe. Mom's birthday came and went, and Tamara didn't mention anything about it. If she did remember Mom's special day, she didn't let on. At first, I thought maybe she wasn't saying anything because she didn't want to make me sad. You know, stir up grief or something. But I gave her plenty of clues to the contrary. Like always, Tamara wasn't great at picking up my subtle cues. I baked cupcakes for the occasion, complete with sprinkles, and still I heard not a word from her about Mom. She gobbled up the
sample complete. Ready to continue?